Good evening, everyone. And welcome to St. James for this service of Maundy Thursday. We welcome you to this place and to this time. I invite you in this moment to set aside the cares and concerns that you've carried with you all day. Lay them at the door. They'll be there when we're done this service. But for this time, let's set it aside to encounter God, to hear the holy stories that happened this week, and to reenact and live out a story that has changed the world, a story that has changed our world. This is the day that Christ, the Lamb of God, gave himself into the hands of those who would slay him. This is the day that Christ gathered with his disciples in the upper room. This is the day that Christ took a towel and washed the disciples' feet, giving us an example that we should do to others as he has done to us. This is the day that Christ our God gave us this holy feast, that we who eat this bread and drink this cup may here proclaim his holy sacrifice and be partakers of his resurrection, and at the last day may reign with him in heaven. Let us pray. O God, your Son, Jesus Christ, has left to us this meal of bread and wine, in which we share his body and his blood. May we who celebrate this sign of his great love show in our lives the fruits of his redemption. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the first letter to the Corinthians. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servant. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. And he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am only with you a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Make us a still place of light, a still place of love, your light radiating, your love vibrating, your touch and your healing far flung and near, to the myriads caught in darkness, in lostness, in fear. Make a heart center here, light of the world. About 20 years ago at Camp Huron, we were in the process of reimagining, renovating, envisioning how we could take the wonderful asset, which is the camp, and make it more. This brought us to our first project at the heart of our site and its programming, the Campfire Pit. The circle of repurposed telephone pole logs was looking a bit tired and oh so uncomfortable, so new benches were designed and installed, stretching out from a central granite altar set in front of a circle of stones which held many, many campfires. Out of the pile of no longer needed poles, two were selected, hewn and nailed together, and into an 18-foot cross that was raised up behind the altar, setting a new way of keeping the space, now known as the outdoor chapel and campfire circle. With no social media, there weren't many folks who knew about it, unless they'd been on the site until the season commenced. Now, on the surface, the young staff were quiet about it, almost too quiet. But it wasn't too hard to detect the looks, the furtive glances, and the murmuring. So later that week, I mentioned to them that I'd noticed they were wondering about the cross, which totally freaked them out, and that it was more than okay to talk about it and ask questions and even have an opinion about it. At the very end of the week, I was approached by one of them who really needed to talk to me about this whole cross thing. So I suggested we go sit by it. I'm not sure if they rock, paper, scissored who would talk to me, but from where I sat with this young person, I could sense many eyes looking our way and ears straining to hear. And this is what she said. I wear a cross around my neck, and I have cross earrings, but Jerry, you could kill a guy on that. And I honestly can't remember my response in any detail at all, but I do remember the warmth of the conversation, a conversation that was then rapidly communicated to everyone else on camp about how a cross that was purpose was to shame and dehumanize had been turned upside down, so to speak. Now, in the case of the camp, it stands in a circle of trees, reminding all of us of Christ's open-armed embrace of all who journeyed to and from this holy place. Oh, and 2 weeks later, we were asked to create a poster for a national church youth initiative, so a small group of staff got together to work on it, on a black background, full of etched words like hate, racism, war, poverty, pollution, stood a colorful cross filled with images that refuted those words. Peace symbols, a drop of clean water, green shoots, flowers, praying hands, a red ribbon, a rainbow, and a central dove upon which were printed the words, "And God so loved the world." I simply share this as a memory of the camp story that speaks to where we find ourselves tonight on our Lenten journey with Jesus, a journey upon which he continues to upend our expectations. And on this most holy and mysterious night, I want to share this image, one that we have seen before here on Maundy Thursday, and a one to which we now return. You can see it on the screen, or in the case of some of you having one, you can hold it in the palm of your hand as we revisit it once again. On a busy city street corner lined with residences, stores, and restaurants, there stands an unassuming-looking gray building. Out front, there's a pergola with benches where residents can sit and relax. They are accompanied in the adjoining courtyard by a figure who kneels, his face upturned, ready to meet the gaze of those coming and going. He wears jeans and a hooded sweatshirt, sleeves rolled up. His feet are bare. One hand reaches out while the other dips into a shallow basin in a most tender invitation. Lips slightly parted. He looks as though he is about to speak. Take a look at this ordinary yet albeit scraggly person set down in the most ordinary of places. There are cars going by, and there's even a bike chained outside the fence. And those are pigeons. Across the street, it looks like there's construction underway. Imagine the noise, the hustle and bustle, folks walking by on their way to anywhere else than here. This bronze statue is called Servant Christ, and it's by Jimelu Mason. And it kneels in the front courtyard of Christ House. Christ House is an inner-city medical clinic for unhoused people in Washington, D.C. It's interesting to note that Mason was a renowned sculptor of presidents and captains of industry. A far cry from this work, another upending of expectations. One of the founding physicians of Christ House saw that her patients had health needs that were too complex for her to treat them in clinic, or they were getting turfed out of the hospital if they were uninsured, discharged early back on the streets to not ever really heal from their illnesses. So Christ House would be a place of respite and care for the most vulnerable to recover from illness and surgery. Well, it seems fitting that this sculpture sits in a garden at Christ House. When the piece was installed, many questioned why such an accomplished artist would agree to have her work displayed in a neighborhood where it was likely to be abused or vandalized. In response, she said this, "There's very little they could do to him that hasn't already been done." In this place of shelter and healing, it's a poignant icon of humble service. An unassuming Jesus bends before the marginalized, the forgotten. Now, two things that stand out in written descriptions about this piece. They all say that Jesus is looking up at the sky. Really? Look closely. You can see that he's looking up, yes, but from an angle where his gaze and even the look on his face, we can see that he's looking right at us and everyone who walks by. In written descriptions, the sculpture is mostly known as a depiction of Jesus fashioned after the clientele. And absolutely, yes. But perhaps we might want to wonder about this time. Is this not just Jesus being Jesus? God who came to live among us, looking just like any one of us, going where Jesus goes, turning up in the most unlikeliest of places, showing the way as Jesus does. It's not like the Messiah, the anointed one who rode a donkey with a ragtag group of followers, would in 2024 roll up in a limo with an entourage wearing the current fashion. Wouldn't he look just like us, going to the grocery store, out running errands? And let's face it, shouldn't he be getting a pedicure rather than kneeling before us and upending our expectations of a powerful leader by tenderly offering to wash our feet? Jesus, there you go again, disarming us with an everyday act of hospitality and loving service. There you go, serving the poor. Sure. But what about other people who are poor? What about those of us, all of us at one time or another, poor in empathy, poor in grace, in justice seeking, in compassion, and poor in the imagination and vision of what our world could be? Look at him looking up, waiting for us to pass by. Listen to him. Can you just hear him? So, if your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. So having received this honoring and this kindness, this blessing, go and bless. Go bless, go serve. And here in this place we have. Remember our long history of outreach highlighted over our 150th anniversary last fall. Go serve. Here in this place we do. Remember the ministries occurring right now. Teaching, learning, hearing, or feeding, sharing, tending and tilling gardens, telling in word and song and actions. Go serve here in this place. We will. Remember, God is always calling us into new and deeper ways of service in this place and beyond. We have, we do, we will. Remember, though, that before we can run out of here with our basins and jugs under our arms out to wash the world's feet, we need to be fed ourselves. That is why Jesus fed his followers and washed their feet. The journey upon which he invited them and invites us is not about to end, but begin anew. A journey of love and reciprocity where we will need each other and those we meet along the way, just as they needed each other and people on the way. Maundy Thursday is a beautiful, disturbing, and surprising day. The day we gather to hear the sacred story of an intimate final supper, followed by Jesus filling a basin and washing his friends' feet. We say the prayers, sing and reenact a gesture of loving service. We share a holy meal. We lovingly, tenderly, and gently will strip away our most beloved holy vessels and linens. And we will feel in our very hearts profound loss. On this most holy night, let us hold the image of the servant Christ, kneeling, inviting, face upturned to meet our gaze, lips slightly parted, saying as he said then, says now, and into forever, love one another. And as we go out to serve, let us look up to the ones we serve. And as we go forth, know that God of the unexpected, where things aren't always what they seem, goes with us each and every step of the way. Amen.
Fellow servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night before his death, Jesus set an example for his disciples. By washing their feet, an act of humble service, he taught that strength and growth in the life of the kingdom of God does not come by power, authority, or even miracle, but by such lowly service. Therefore, I invite you, whoever feels called, who share in the royal priesthood of Christ, to come forward, that I may recall whose servant I am, by following the example of my master, but come remembering his admission that what will be done for you is also to be done by you to others. For a servant is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. As we prepare for the foot washing portion of this evening, a note on how to do this. I will be at this center station, and so if you'd like to come and have your feet washed by me, please come up to this chair. If you would like to have your feet washed and then wash someone else's feet to partake in this ritual, I'd ask that you would go to either one of the two chairs on the side. So if you'd like to have your feet washed, please feel free to come forward. If you'd like to have your feet washed and wash someone else's, please head to one of the two on the side.
One bread of Christ.
Please stand. My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, we spread this table to remember the loving sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your Son. Accept all we offer you this day. Bind us together in his love, and in the love that he has commanded us to bring one another, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image, male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses, you led your people from bondage into freedom, and through the prophets, you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, he fulfilled your gracious will. On this very night, he freely gave himself to death. Our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying.
If we die with him, we shall live with him. If we walk firm, we shall reign with him.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
You take away.
Let us pray. Holy God, source of all love, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment, to love one another as he loved them. Write this commandment in our hearts. Give us the will to serve others as he was the servant of all, who gave his life and died for us, yet is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
God, my God, why have you abandoned me? Far from my cry, my words of pain. I call by day, you do not answer. I call by night, but find no rest. You are the Holy One enthroned, the praise of Israel. Our people trusted you. You rescued them. To you they cried, and they were saved. They trusted, and they were not shamed. But I am a worm, hardly human, despised by all, mocked by the crowd. All who see me jeer at me, sneer at me, wagging their heads. He relied on God, God will help him. Let God who loves him save him. Yes, you took me from the womb. You kept me safe upon my mother's breast. I belonged to you from the time of my birth. You are my God from my mother's womb. Do not stray far off. Danger is so close. I have no other help. Wild bulls surround me. Bulls of Bashan encircle me, opening their jaws against me, like roaring, ravening lions. I am poured out like water. My bones are pulled apart. My heart is wax melting within me. My throat is dust dry. Tongue stuck to my jaws. You bring me down to the dust of death. There are dogs all around me. A pack of villains corners me. They tear my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare at me and gloat. They take what I wore. They roll dice for my clothes. You, Lord, do not stray far off. You, my strength, be quick to help. Save my neck from the sword. Save my life from the dog's teeth. Save me from the lion's jaws. Save me from the bull's horns. You hear me. God, my God, why have you abandoned me? Far from my cry, my words of pain. I call by day, you do not answer. I call by night, but find no rest. You are the Holy One enthroned, the praise of Israel. Our people trusted you. You rescued them. To you they cried and they were saved. They trusted and they were not shamed. I am a worm, hardly human, despised by all, mocked by the crowd. All who see me jeer at me, sneer at me, wagging their heads. He relied on God, God will help him. Let God who loves him save him. I will proclaim your name to my people. I will praise you in the assembly. Praise God, all who fear God. Honor God, people of Jacob. Children of Israel, revere God. The Lord never scorns the afflicted, nor looks away, but hears their cry. I will praise you in the great assembly. Make good my promises before your faithful. The poor shall eat all they want. Seekers of God shall give God praise. May your hearts live forever. All peoples shall remember and turn. All races will bow to God. The rule is God's, rule over nations. The feasting crowd kneels before God. All destined to die, bow low. My soul lives for God. My children shall serve, shall proclaim God to the future, announcing to peoples yet unborn, God save.